Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Thursday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Can't play a talking number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
As we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got AB with your updates throughout the course of the morning. Pete the Body and Mikey B across the way on the side at the controls. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz of the Moose, Sirius 206 XM 206, Sirius XM app, channel 206 as well.
Rotation seemed a little jumbled. Kyle didn't play in the first quarter, and Kevin LeBron on the bench to start the fourth. Did something get out of whack for you, or is that the way you wanted it to go?
Well, initially he's been putting Olajay in, so that's been kind of Kyle's matchup when he comes in the game. But he didn't play him tonight, so, you know, it kind of, you know, threw us for a loop. But we got Bron out with 2.5 minutes, and at the start of the fourth, he wasn't ready to go. So, you know, same thing happened game, I think, one or two, I can't remember.
Did LeBron look tired to you? And especially, you know, did you think he looked tired at all tonight?
He looked a little tired to me, yes.
Sir?
No concerns. She got to be ready to play now. No concerns.
Yeah, I mean, there is Ty Lue after the game last night following his Cavaliers' 96-83 loss up in Boston against the Celtics. Says the Seas make it 10 straight playoff home victories. They're 10-0 in the postseason at home with the double-digit victory and now have a 3-2 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, LeBron definitely didn't, you know, he didn't seem his normal energized self where he's just, people are just feeding off his energy, those other Cavaliers. That really didn't happen. The Celtics wasn't a great game for them either, but at the end of the day, they got a gigantic win in deep in the postseason here, and they did it at home. So, impressive.
Yeah, impressive from a Boston perspective, right, where they shoot just 36% from the floor and they win the game by 13 points.
I know, it's crazy.
So
yeah.
they take care of the basketball. They weren't efficient offensively, but still, it just shows you how poor the Cleveland Cavaliers were offensively. And to play the point about LeBron looking fatigued and looking a little tired on the court, I mean, we've talked about the amount of minutes that LeBron James has logged in this postseason for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and really the pressure that is on him on a nightly basis to go out there and perform. It's like he had a bad game. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Did he have the same amount of energy? No, and right. I would probably say, based on his standards, it was a subpar LeBron James performance, but we've seen that before up in Boston from James, especially playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers before he left for the Miami Heat. His last game as a member of the Cavaliers was up in Beantown and was a dreadful performance. But put that aside, I don't think it has any impact on that. I think LeBron maybe just read his teammates and understanding that in all likelihood, you know, it was not going to be their night up in Cleveland. So why are you going to squeeze the lemon dry? They've got a game 6 to win at home, conceivably speaking, to put them back in a situation back in Beantown for a pivotal game 7 to see if they can get themselves back to the NBA Finals.
I mean, you know LeBron, right? So, you know, it's obvious. I mean, we don't know for a fact, but you know he wants to play the bulk of the minutes in the game. He wants the weight on his shoulders of, you know, being the alpha guy on that team. And he wants, he loves that. He's known that for years, to be the top guy. When you're the top guy, the pressure's on you. I mean, some would say, if you're looking at it from afar, wow, the Cavaliers, Ty Lue, the coaches, man, they run this guy into the ground. Ah, I think LeBron wants that. I mean, he is human, though. I mean, he is human. He's not a machine. He might be built like a machine. He might perform at times like a machine, but he's not a machine. So, you know, he's a human, and he's not a young kid. So he does get fatigued, but, you know, and he's got to, you need those other players around him for, you know, to really step up. I mean, you know, J.R. Smith and Love, these guys, you know, Thompson, these guys got to play better. I mean, when he needs a little bit of a blow.
Right, and I just don't know if they're really capable of consistently doing that. And I'd probably bank on them being able to do that more so at home than on the road up in Boston against the Celtics. It's a night and day difference when you look at that Celtic team at home as compared to what they are on the road. I mentioned it now. 10-0 this postseason at home. It's unfortunate. And the focus is going to be on LeBron and fatigued. And, you know, he made sure to correct a reporter during his postgame press conference as late in that postgame presser last night, where the question was asked, well, you mentioned you were fatigued. And LeBron said, no, I never said I was fatigued. His head coach, Ty Lue, brought up the fact he was fatigued, but also said everybody on the team is tired at this stage of the NBA season with the amount of minutes that everybody's logged. He was asked about whether or not he was under the weather. Everybody, we're all used to these superhuman performances from LeBron James, Taz, to the point now where he gives you what is still a pretty good effort, but off the charts brilliant. Everybody said, well, something's got to be wrong. What do you have, the allergies? Do you have a little bit of a cold? Do you have a fever going on? What's going on with LeBron James? Why did he only give you a 26-10-5 up in Beantown last night? We all expected a 38-40-point performance, but he didn't play well. He did give you the visual signs that he was tired over the course of the game as well, Taz. Right. Every time they showed him, and ESPN could not keep the camera off the eye, obviously, off of him, because they're just going to show the stars. So, I think it's unfortunate because you do take it away from what was a good Boston victory last night, because now all the focus is going to be on whether or not James was fatigued in Game 5.
But you hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, what you just said a second ago, Moose, and you're right. The camera is always on him, right? He's the star. They want numbers. They want ratings, ESPN. So you're going to keep the camera on him. But that's a negative, too, if you're LeBron, because any little thing you do, everyone, every fan, reporters, men and women that cover it like we do on the air, either radio or TV, they are looking for anything they see in this guy. And the camera's always on him. So if for some reason he happens to do a little yawn on the bench while he's taking a blow, oh, my God, he took a nap. Yeah, LeBron took a nap on the sideline. Yeah, he was sleeping, actually. He had a blanket and a sleeping bag. I mean, I'm obviously being sarcastic and joking, but, you're right. The camera's always on the guy.
Yeah, always on him, and it was once again last night. And Boston, a couple things from a Celtic perspective. Number one, Jason Tatum. They needed somebody to step forward offensively. Rozier did not have a good night. Jaylen Brown, Taz, did not have a good night. Jason Tatum, who had 7 games combined with 20 or more points against the Bucks and the 76ers in the 2 earlier series for the Boston Celtics, went out there last night for Boston and dropped in 24 points on a 7 of 15 from the floor. Boston still missed their fair share of bunnies or layups right at the rim, but they needed somebody to step forward or not enough offensively, and Tatum was the guy last night.
Yeah.
And I thought the young rookie out of Duke played really, really well.
No, I agree. I thought Jaylen Brown played pretty good, too. I mean, but yeah, I agree with you about Tatum, no doubt. You know, early in the game, what was it, probably the first quarter, right, that little scuffle that happened with, Nance Jr. and Morris. I thought there would be That would ignite both teams for it to be, a very high energy game, and it wasn't. I mean, those guys got into a little bit of a scrum, and it didn't. It didn't. You know, sometimes you see it like in a hockey game where they'll send a goon out there to just pound a guy or get into a little scuffle with a guy just to create some energy,
right?
And that kind of didn't happen.
No, you didn't see it. The Cavs were down 13 at the end of one. They're down 11 at the half. They're down 16 at the end of three. And there really wasn't much to the game. And it's very similar in nature for what we've seen here throughout the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, we finally got a good game out in West in Game 4 that saw the Rockets have an unbelievable comeback victory a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And then maybe this is a sign of things to come. And all signs pointed to, all right, we're going to get a great Game 5 up in Beantown. And there where you were, blink of an eye, that game gets going shortly after 8 o'clock last night, Eastern time. And the Boston Celtics have a 13-point lead at the end of the first quarter. And from that point forward, then a working margin. I mean, at what point in time, the Cavs got it down to 9 on 2 different occasions. The Celtics led by as much as 20. They win the game by 13. There really was no point in the second half that you thought the Cavs had enough to overcome the deficit that they were facing. Boston always had a comfortable lead, and there wasn't much to it. There really wasn't in terms of game analysis. I mean, the one thing you get on Ty Lue about the game is this. He cannot allow Brad Stevens to dictate whether or not Kyle Korver's been probably the third best player in the Cleveland Cavaliers this postseason.
Yeah.
Outside of LeBron, obviously, big drop-off to Kevin Love, and then it's probably been Kyle Korver. The idea that Brad Stevens, who takes Ojeleye out of the rotation last night for the Boston Celtics, and that minimizes Kyle Korver from a Cav perspective, is stupid. Yeah. I mean, it is one of the – and for Ty Lue after the game to basically give you no rational reason aside from, well, he didn't play Ojeleye, so it kind of threw us off as a coaching staff. Wait a second. I mean, wait, hold on.
It's ridiculous,
it's,
dude.
It's one of the – it's wait, what are you guys doing on the bench there? So how long did it figure out – how long did it take you as a staff to figure out that – that Ojeleye was not playing for the Boston Celtics last night, and to realize, did anyone tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, coach, by the way, maybe it's time to get Korver in the game. I know Ojeleye's not playing, but, you know, Korver's probably been our third best offensive option this entire postseason.
Yeah,
how I mean, it takes you where Korver only plays 19 minutes last night in a game in which Boston didn't shoot lights out.
Right.
They did a good job of taking care of the basketball. It's not like the Cavaliers didn't play good defense and Boston scored 120 points last night. How exactly do, if you're Ty Lue, do you allow Brad Stevens to dictate playing time for your third best player?
It's ridiculous. You laid it out perfectly. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You can't let another coach dictate when you're going to play a guy that just two nights ago, when you beat up the Celtics 111 to 102, Korver, he played 25 minutes. He scored 14 points. He played great. He played great in clutch moments in that game when you defeated the Celtics. Yeah, now that Ty Lue, I mean, come on. You got to put your brain cap on here, son.
Well, and to the point where Lue was asked a question earlier in this series, I think it was after the Game 3 victory by the Cavs, where I think Korver's 37 years of age. And a reporter brought up, and he's like, oh, I didn't know he was that old. Maybe I have to look at the amount of minutes we're playing. And joking around about that, and everyone in the, you know, all the media laughed and guffawed and joked around. Oh, what a one-liner by Ty Lue. And last night, after he gave you that response, you say, wait a second, what do you guys do on that bench? Yeah. What exactly are you doing out there all game long? Wait, Ojeleye's not in the game. Let's think about how can we get Korver in? Put him in the game!
It's like, Ojeleye went in. Oh, I put Korver in! No, come on. You got to play. This guy, you got to keep him. You got to have him in the game. You got to keep him, let him play more minutes. Okay, how old he is? The guy's been productive, Korver, so... Yeah, no, that's definitely a big mishap by the Cavaliers, by Ty Lue himself.
Here is LeBron James following last night's loss.
I think everybody at this point is tired, or you know, worn down, or whatever the case may be. But you know, still trying to make plays to help our team win, put us in position to win. And we had moments, we had an opportunity, but we didn't make enough plays. We got to defend like we did tonight, and you know, we got to make some shots. And that would definitely will help. I think going back home, we have a comfort level, and a lot of our guys have a comfort level of being back home and playing off the fans and playing off our crowd, playing off that court.
Yeah, sorry, I interrupted the LeBron James press conference, but I digress. Yeah, no, you know, look, he's right though. I mean, they're all tired. I mean, not just the Cavaliers. I mean, the Celtics. You know, these guys are all playing a lot of games, and that's why you see like. That home court advantage is a big plus, not just the energy of the audience, you know, the fan base, but you get to sleep in your own bed the night before. You're in your own environment. You're in your own home. You're not in a hotel. You're not on a bus. You're not, you know, you're doing your regular routine at home. That helps your stress, keeps you relaxed, and that's a big thing that people don't think about, but it does help.
Yeah, it does. That all helps, and I also just think it's a matter of the secondary and third guys on a team, Taz, playing a lot more comfortable. Yeah. And I think the home crowd, the proof is in the numbers. I mean, the Boston Celtics are by far a better team at home. I think it's the young guys on that team without veterans like Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving feeding off that hometown crowd. I think that's where you get better performances off the bench from, you know, Cavalier players that are playing secondary and third roles on this Cavalier team. They're a step up because, as we've discussed, Taz, you feed off the adrenaline of the crowd at home, where maybe it give you a little bit of an extra boost, a little bit of an extra energy. Maybe if you're feeling a little fatigued or tired, it's able to push you over the hump. You don't get that. You can't feed off that crowd, especially when you get off to a slow start. Maybe when you're really struggling, you know, you can, or when you're playing well and the other home team is struggling, you can start to feed off of that. But once you get the gut shot, as the Cavs got last night, as we've seen every road team in the series get in the opening quarter, it's tough to bounce back for these teams. And I think it just shows you just where the talent level is. I mean, no one's doubting the brilliance of LeBron, but there's not much else there behind him. And Kevin Love's a nice player, but he's probably better as a third option than a second option. And for Boston, they're really talented. Even without their two-star players, right, they're just really young and inexperienced.
They are. But they're fun to watch, as we know. But I think, yeah, know, I think you're right. You know, they do feed off that hometown crowd for sure. But, you know, on the road, I mean, that's where they got to really, I mean, now in do or die time, they got to step up because they stink, the Celtics, on the road. They really have. I mean, so, but at home, they are a machine for sure. And they got that youth and that exuberance without a doubt. But like I was talking about earlier in that first quarter, with that, when Morris D'd up on Nance Jr. and dropped him, and then he looked over him, which he shouldn't have done. It's kind of like not cool. And he just stared him down while he was down and then turned his back on him. I thought Nance Jr. was going to punch him right in the back of the head. I mean, he didn't. He pushed him. He gave him like a little forearm shiver, and then it was a big pull apart. And even with that, if you watch what happens at the tail end of that little bit of a skirmish there, LeBron James kind of pulls himself right out of that whole thing. He not that he wasn't there to step up for his teammate, but he turned his back on it and kind of giggled and walked and started talking to one of the officials or one of the guys that wears the suits that float around there on the floor at these arenas. And it was weird. I just felt like there's a little bit, you know, there's not, the benches didn't clear, but it's like, you know, hey, we got a little scrum going on here. And LeBron kind of, I'm not saying he's soft, but it was kind of weird. It jumped out to me that he backed out of that. Maybe a lot of people didn't notice that, but he did. And it was weird. Maybe he was tired. He needed to take a nap. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't pick up on that.
He did. He walked away.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know exactly what to read into it. I think for James, he doesn't want to get himself thrown out of the game, potentially. Yeah. If that thing should escalate and once cooler heads to prevail. Yeah. All right. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. Surprised at all by the performance last night by the Cavs, the fatigue for LeBron James, the performance by the Boston Celtics, another double-digit victory for the home team in the Eastern Conference Finals should not be any sort of a surprise. That's been a familiar theme. Want to hear from you. It's Taz and the Moose with you as we're just getting going on this big Thursday morning. 855-212-4CBS, your number to call right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, and listen, Stevens, and that is the Celtics head coach, Brad Stevens. Taz, he was asked the question, was, you know, this your best defensive effort of the postseason? And he answered the question and said, listen, I got to go back and watch the game and watch the film once again.
Right.
I think he was happy with his team's performance defensively and the way that, as he discussed there, they were connected. They played as a group. They played as a unit. Nothing individualized. They stuck together. You know, they dealt with the big early threes by the Cavs last night.
Right.
And they got better as the defense as the game went along defensively. Now the Cavs are going to look at it, and there were some shots that the Cleveland Cavaliers have got to make last night. So they're going to look at that. So I don't think Brad Stevens, there's always room to grow. And as a coach, you're never going to say, yeah, this was it. This was the quintessential defensive performance.
We were the best ever.
Right. We've got no room to grow. You're never going to do that as a coach because you're always wanting, you know, you're kind of like.
Keep grinding.
You always want to put the carrot out there for your team to chase.
Chase the carrot. But Brad Stevens, very big into the word connectivity and connections and connect. He's big at that. He always talks about connections and connectivity. I just figured I'd share that with
you.
Yes. All right. Yes. Just in case you didn't realize that, Moose. I want to let you know.
He did.
He always talks about, I like that, though.
Right.
Well, connectivity, connective. I like that.
Well, he you could tell he's a great communicator.
Smart guy.
He's a smart guy. He's giving you 110%. and his team can relate to him. So there's a lot to like about Brad Stevens as a coach, even though he doesn't get the respect from his luminaries at the other coaching spots in the NBA.
Nice word.
Yeah, the other NBA coaches around the league.
Is that like illuminated? That's
right.
That's a $20 word. Wow.
There you go. But Stevens is, and that Celtic team has been great on the at home, not so much on the road. And we'll see what kind of performance they give you Game 6 in Cleveland.
Should be something.
Maybe we get a great game. Wouldn't that be nice?
So be nice.
Wouldn't be nice if we get a great game.
As long as the Celtics win, I just want them to keep winning.
I gotcha. I'd like to see a great game.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to see a game in the second half that's not 20-point spread.
Yeah,
and someone's got to answer that to me. Someone's got to answer. As great as the NBA is.
Yeah.
How come we have conceivably speaking, the four best teams, and we've had one great game out of nine? That's it. I mean, think about that.
They don't play good defense?
No, I mean, we've had one great game out of nine finals games in the Western and Eastern Conference. Yeah, we've had one great game. That's it.
That's true. That is. I mean, it's good coaches, except for Ty Lue. I don't think he's that good. And the other coaches are all good. But speaking of coaches real quick before we get to AB, who's in the studio right now, and he's giving us the
evil
eye.
Getting ready for an update.
He's
not even looking at you.
He's like, hello, guys. It's my time. And are we given too much love, like all of us as the media?
Yes, you are. So this report's brought to you.
To Brad Stevens. You could jump in if you want. But no, I mean, do you think that as a whole sports medium platform media coverage people, that is too much? Is he starting to get a little teeny pushback, Brad Stevens, that he's getting too much hype? I love him. I think he's great. What do you think?
Personally, I
too
don't.
Much hype? No,
I
don't
mean,
think so.
I don't. Okay. I mean, Robert Parrish thought so a week ago, but current players and former players alike talked about his brilliance as a coach and that they love to play for him. I mean, to the point where former players have said he's the best coach they've ever played for. So I think does say a lot. I mean, I think sometimes we have a tendency in the way sports is covered to overdo it, Tez. But on the broad landscape and the spectrum of the oversaturation at times of the way things are covered, I think we have a tendency to overdo it. So to the point now where, you'll have people trying to figure out the body temperature of LeBron James during the game last night. Yeah. Is he dealing with maybe there was a bad pollen day up in Boston last night.
Well, the pollen's been high.
I don't know. Springtime. I mean, maybe he didn't get his maybe he's allergic and didn't get his allergy
shots.
Take
his Sudafed, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. But that is the analysis we're going to get over the course of the morning because LeBron James didn't go out and score 42 points last night.
Real quick, before we get to AB, because he's still in the studio. We're just trying to do a show, but he's here. The thing is, too, with LeBron, why does he sit there? AB, maybe you have the answer. Maybe Moose does. I don't know. Why does he sit there when he's sweating like crazy, when he's getting a little break and he's on a bench? If you notice, watch closely. He usually doesn't use a towel to wipe the sweat. He uses like a paper towel or napkin. It's odd. Like, it's odd what he does. He wipes himself down with like a little, like a Dunkin' Donuts napkin. I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know.
Mikey B, you're the basketball savant. I mean, have you noticed this?
I have not noticed this, but I will look for it in Game 6.
Dude, it's weird. And if anybody from the...
Maybe he feels the athletic towels wouldn't necessarily be clean.
A little body odor Jones on it. Yeah, well, that could be a little stinky. You know,
someone throws him a towel, the previous guy like wiped his underarms with it.
I wish I could.
I'd rather go with a napkin.
So he's using like a
nice paper towel.
Starbucks. Yeah, great brand.
Oh, it'd be Dunkin' in Boston.
Dunkin' in Boston, true.
Full Dunkin'.
That's why I said Dunkin'. Great, phenomenal brand.
Both of them.
Dunkin' is fantastic. Yeah, so is awesome. Starbucks.
Yeah, great napkins, too.
They do have good napkins. They're brown, though. But see, he was using a white napkin.
It was Dunkin'.
He does it a lot. He does it a lot. LeBron does this a lot. I mean, maybe anybody listens to it, if you want to tweet that somewhere. No one will look at it, but you could tweet it, and we will just...
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. AB, good morning, Andrew. How you doing, bro?
Oh, good. I'm good. Good to see you guys. Your report's brought to you by Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol's finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. The door was slightly ajar for a Cavalier comeback in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Al Horford finally closed it midway through the fourth.
Rozier, offensive end, lob. Horford throws it down with two hands, and finally, A two-minute run of Game 5 in the fourth quarter that was scoreless ends with a thunderous slam from Al Horford, relief from the 18,624, and a timeout from Ty Lue.
Sean Grandy, Celtics Radio, 96-83, the final count in Boston. The Celtics improving to 10-0 at home in these playoffs and taking a 3-2 lead back to Cleveland for Game 6 tomorrow night. Horford finished with 15 points and 12 boards, 17 points from Jaylen Brown, and 24 from Jason Tatum. His ninth 20-point effort in his first postseason.
I just enjoy, you know, playing in the big moments, in the big games. I think that's, you know, when I have the most fun.
LeBron scored 26, but only two in the fourth quarter, and another bad night for his supporting cast. J.R. Smith, George Hill, Tristan Thompson combining for 10 points. The Clippers announced an extension for head coach Doc Rivers yesterday. Terms were undisclosed. Next season was the last on Rivers' current deal, with him due over $11 million. Now to playoff ice. The East finally decided last night in Tampa Bay.
The puck drops. Beagle winning the draw. Back out to center. And that is going to do it. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night, Tampa Bay. The Washington Capitals are the 2017-2018 Eastern Conference champions.
With a 4-0 win in Game 7 in Tampa, Alex Ovechkin scored just 62 seconds into the game, and Braden Holtby made 29 saves for his second straight shutout. That was John Walton on Caps Radio. First Stanley Cup final in 20 years for Washington. Game 1 in Vegas Monday night. The Dodgers blanked the Rockies 3-0 for their sixth win in 7 games. The Phillies 4, the Braves nothing, and the Pirates outlasted the Reds 5-4 in 12. The Red Sox a 4-1 win in Tampa Bay, while the Yankees were outscored in Texas 12-10. A San Jose judge dropped felony domestic violence charges against Niners linebacker Reuben Foster yesterday. Foster's ex-girlfriend testified last week. She made up the allegations in anger over their breakup. And there are 5 new members of the NASCAR Hall of Fame: Jeff Gordon, Davey Allison, Alan Kulwicki, Jack Roush, and Roger Penske. Enshrinement ceremonies are February 1st. Guys?
All right. Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. And you mentioned during the course of your update there that the Stanley Cup Finals are set, and it will be the Golden Knights of Las Vegas against the Washington Capitals after their 4-0 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning down in FLA last night. That series will get going on Monday night of the holiday Memorial Day weekend. So you got a few days here, and the Capitals got a few days following their Game 7 victory to rest up. But Taz, for the Caps, finally, and for Ovechkin, finally, getting there. He's been a wonderful player. He's been an all-time great NHL player.
Absolutely.
And you felt good for Ovi last night, who had an absolute rocket ship of a shot for the opening goal last night on the slapper with about a minute into the game last night to give Washington an early 1-0 lead.
Yeah.
And the Lightning, from that point forward, looked like a defeated team. They didn't score a goal in the last two games of this series. Lose the game last night 4-0 at home. Just a brutal performance by Tampa Bay.
Felt like they had no shots on goal. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but that's what Tampa Bay felt like. But, you know, you mentioned Ovechkin and that shot, just about a minute into the game, that goal, that slap shot, that completely just sucked the life out of the hometown crowd there in Tampa. It was just done. I mean, might be a slight exaggeration, but that goal definitely pulled the life quick out of the hometown crowd. And that helped the Caps for sure. But congrats to them, man. I know that's your team. You were pulling for them.
I was.
And I'm looking forward to this Vegas versus the Caps.
It's gonna be a fun series. Here's Ovechkin on finally making it to the Cup Finals.
It's just emotion, you know. Finally, we get what we want, be in the Stanley Cup Final. But how I said, it's still... still lots of hockey, and still lots of energy, and still lots of battles.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in front of them. So they're 4 victories away. Think about it, the little bit of history. It's good for the National Hockey League, Taz, because you have the story of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep, new team.
As we've discussed, expansion team
right.
In the Cup Final. They're 4 victories away. And you have a Washington team that has taken year upon year upon year of disappointment. Great regular season team, making trades to try and strengthen their team, everybody and their mother said, Caps aren't going to make it this year. Right. I mean, they're over the top. They're going to break things this thing up after the season comes to an end. They're going to get eliminated. First series this year against Columbus, they're down 2-0 before they come storming back. They finally upend their arch rival, Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That was the big one.
On that game-winning goal. Yeah. Right, finally overcoming that.
That was the big one.
They lead this series 2-0, lose 3 straight games. Everyone thinks the Lightning are going to eliminate them in Game 6. They win Game 6, win Game 7 on the road, and finally get there. And for their head coach, Barry Trotz, he said, well, Ovi's on a mission.
I went to visit Ovi right after his wedding, and we talked about a couple of things and redefining himself a little bit. There was a lot of people doubting that he still had what it took. And I think the great players take exception to that.
Two different stories, right? Like I just laid out between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Caps, the tradition, the history, all the years of the Caps, brand new Jones, Vegas Golden Knights. But the thing is, it's like if you watch like the fan bases, even like it's like just imagine those Capital fans, all the years, right, of misery.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And then you get the Vegas Golden Knights, which is like, oh, we're new to this thing. Ah, we're winning. We're gonna just beat everybody. They're totally different, you know, parts of the country. It's almost like this whole thing's a work. I'm starting to think this thing was fixed.
Well, I mean, it is. And there are a lot of longtime NHL fans that are going to be rooting for the Washington Capitals. They do not want to see the Vegas Golden Knights have initial success and win a Stanley Cup in their first year in the National Hockey League. So the Caps are going to get a lot of people that are going to jump on that bandwagon in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Correctamundo. And the thing is, too, just think about D.C., right? They haven't won in anything. In any sport since 1992.
It's been a long time.
Those people are miserable over there in the nation's capital.
It's been a long time. And another person that's miserable, team that's miserable, how about the Tampa Bay Lightning? And here's their head coach, John Cooper, who last night had to really put everything into some kind of fruitful meaning following losing 2 straight and getting eliminated at home by Washington.
I'm damn proud of them, I'll tell you that. The team didn't make the playoffs the year before, and to get to Game 7 of the conference final. It takes a lot of work, and the guys put it in and almost rewarded for it.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper's a good coach, too. Yeah. And well-spoken, good coach, connected, one of those guys that started to be a surge in the National Hockey League, Taz, of bringing in guys that didn't really have NHL head coaching experience but taught an up-tempo style of game. Tampa Bay will be back. The only issue they have is JT Miller is a restricted free agent this offseason, so they'll be back next year, and they're a really talented team. But that still does not take away from the disappointment, because Cooper went on to say both teams. I mean, you look at it, any of the four, Winnipeg, Vegas, Washington, or Tampa Bay.
Right.
You could make an argument there were different points of this postseason to say, this is our year.
Right.
We're on the magic carpet ride, right? And to finally to get eliminated and then come to the realization it is not your year. You know, he even admitted he didn't really know what to say to his team following the game last night.
Yeah.
Because they all expected that they were going to win, that they were back home, and then they gave you that performance, which was a bad one at that.
Well, correct. And now the Caps have a couple days off. Okay, and then they kicks off Sunday, right?
Monday night,
my bad. Now, look, but think about this. Maybe a slight concern if you're a Golden Knights fan. They haven't played.
Played in a while.
Like 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah.
Now, so they'll go a full week and a week and a couple of days. You got to worry about some of that momentum. I mean, yeah, they're rested, but there's some of that momentum concern.
You don't want any rust to build up. That's a fair point.
You got to think about.
Right. That. It is definitely a fair point, and we'll see how these Stanley Cup Finals do play out. But looking forward to it. Two great storylines, and for Gary Bettman in the National Hockey League, it should be a very, very interesting Stanley Cup final. You've got the team that's been chasing it, Ovi, for years, and the Washington Capitals taking on the young upstarts and the Vegas Golden Knights.
It's going to be a fun series.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The NFL's new national anthem policy. We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Clearly, our objective as a league into all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe.
That is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing the, or discussing and announcing the new national anthem policy in the National Football League. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. So, we finally have a little bit, or I would say some clarity to the new national anthem rule, I mean, to an extent. But in a nutshell, here it is. Any team personnel, including players, must stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem if they're on the field at the time. According to the policy statement, it replaces a previous policy that players should stand but did not make it required. So they're requiring you to stand if you're on the field when the national anthem is being played. If you decide that you don't want to stand during the national anthem, they basically inform you that you should stay in the locker room during the course of the national anthem, and that players, well, I should say teams, will be fined if players do not adhere to the new rule in the National Football
League. And then it's, correct me if I'm wrong, then I believe it's up to the team how they want
team policy.
If
right.
they want to find
correct.
That player.
So the right. So the CEO of the Jets, Chris Johnson, right? Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, is now the ambassador to England, I believe, under President Trump. But Chris Johnson, his brother, has taken over running the Jets organization. So he's technically the CEO.
Right.
He came out and said that no player will pay any kind of fine. Right. The Jets as an organization, we believe in free speech, that if a player decides to kneel during the national anthem, any fines that come the Jets' way, the organization will take care of those fines.
Well, I got to tell you, some might not like that Johnson said that. Some fans might not like it, or people, or whoever. But I got to be honest with you, in my opinion, that's the right thing for him to do to keep his team and his coaches and everybody in his organization dialed in. And that they want to play for that particular team. In this case, you're talking about the Jets and the Johnson. So, look, man, this whole thing is like, I kind of felt like, and I know, we were talking offline a little bit with Mike. Look, this is kind of like, we talked a little about this yesterday. It's kind of been a little bit of a dead issue. Like, it kind of like died down. And now it's kind of like, I feel like the NFL just, they ignited it even more, and it got reignited
by President Trump last October,
right,
during a rally down in Alabama, where he made the statements about firing players if they do that. Then the issue once again at that stage, Taz, I agree with you. I think the issue was probably became a little bit of not in the shadows, but was not a hot button talking point once President Trump made the statement at a rally down in Alabama and put the pressure on the owners and talk about firing players if they don't stand for the national anthem. All of a sudden, the situation exploded
right.
once
the,
again.
The
right,
can it, of worms is open.
No doubt about it. Yeah. To play to your point, it's like gasoline on the fire,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
That you made yesterday. So. Now it comes to a point here where the NFL has not dealt with this issue head on well. It's 2016 Colin Kaepernick when he was kneeling during the national anthem, right? They did not go. It took him over 2 years to change the rules when it comes to the national anthem. They've had issues. Here's the problem for the National Football League, Taz, is this, right? It's not a matter of players having the right. Everyone has the right to do whatever they want to do. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll be employed. The problem for the NFL is they saw a downturn in their economic model last year.
Yeah.
So what hurts, when you look at rich people, right, billionaires,
yeah,
what's going to grab their attention more so than anything else when the same amount of money is not flowing in?
That's a problem.
When you look at the business model and all of a sudden you're having a meeting and saying, well, last year we made, for argument's sake, $55 million. This year we're making $32 million.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't understand how exactly.
Yeah, what happened?
I'm not giving you exact numbers,
but my point
being is, well, why the downturn in money coming in? The NFL is basically like King Kong. I mean, it really has been in terms of the popularity across the country. So that's really grabbed the attention of the NFL owners, and that's why you come up with this rule. Now, the rule change, Taz, I don't think resolves really anything.
Nah,
I don't think it changes anything.
I think it makes things worse, to be honest, because now the attention's back on it. Okay, so I don't know if they did this to appease President Trump or what they did this for, the owners and stuff like that. I don't know why. It kind of, like I said, we felt like it kind of died down a little bit. Well, whatever. So now you have players either going to be in the locker room or not within field vision, whatever the hell it's going to be, if they are protesting. So how are they protesting? Meaning that it's not a protest if you can't see them, if they're not on television, if no one sees them. So I guess that's one way to, you know, keep it, but now you're going to be saying, okay, wait, I don't know, hypothetically, give me a name. Somebody's in the locker room. He's not on the sideline.
Malcolm Jenkins.
He's not on the sideline. Oh, he's in the locker room. That means he's protesting. Well, hold on a second. Maybe Malcolm Jenkins needed some last minute tape on his ankle. Or maybe he had a problem with the technology in the back of his helmet that he needed some new padding. Or maybe his chin strap snapped in pregame. And now he's in, because, you know, players are sometimes, I remember, when I was at college, like sometimes you're in the locker room during national anthem. Not everyone is always on the sideline.
Right.
That's now, another thing that people don't think about.
Well, right. And then you've got to figure out in the rationalization why guys were in the locker room and what have you after the game does go final. But you're right. There could be a number of different factors why somebody's not on the sideline during the national anthem. It could have nothing to do with protesting or Jenkins has come out and said this won't stop anything. But, I mean, if the NFL really want to resolve the issue, Taz, why would they not have a discussion with the Players Association? Why would they not sit down? Why would there be reports yesterday that owners like John Mara, and I forget the other owner, basically said nothing's going to change in the policy for the NFL, and then all of a sudden they bring about policy change? Now, this is not something that needs to be collectively bargained. The Players Association want to make sure that the rule change does not violate the CBA. So they'll look into that. I don't think it will, but we'll see what the Players Association. But why not try and build up a little bit more trust between the owners, the commissioner, and the players, and sit down and have a meeting and a discussion to try and resolve it, instead of basically the owners being heavy-handed and coming down from the mountain basically saying, you will do this, and if you don't, we are going to fine you. It doesn't solve anything. This doesn't solve anything. You go the other path. Maybe we get some sort of resolution here, Taz,
I agree.
To where it doesn't become as – it doesn't continue to be as big of an issue as it is.
No doubt, man. It's like we were saying yesterday, and I brought this up, and I just hate the stereotype type billionaires, because that's what we're talking about, billionaires. A lot of these type of people are ultra, ultra, ultra power mongers, and they don't want to be told what to do. They're going to tell you what to do, hence all the power and money and all that jazz. And I mean, it's just about the NFL in general, and it's just this big cloud over this thing. Now, this thing is going to be the attention that's going to be on this again. I think will be worse for football games, NFL games, worse than it was when Kaepernick first took the knee.
And
I really do.
Jed York, the 49ers owner, said he abstained from the vote, said he wanted more information, talked to his players. Also said that at San Francisco 49ers games, they're going to stop selling concessions during the national anthem. I got to be honest with you, I hope you were doing that before. I mean, I don't know anybody that the national anthem is playing and saying, you know what, now's a good time to go get a hot dog.
Yeah, who does that?
I mean, honestly, I we've been to a lot of sporting events, Taz. We've been on a lot of sporting events. We talked about it yesterday. You remove your hat. If you don't, you get a tap on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
Right? As a reminder to do it.
Yeah.
I've never gone up and said, you know what, now's the time to go get myself a pretzel. There's not going to be any lines because the anthem's playing.
I need Cracker Jacks. Move something right back. The anthem's playing.
What your reaction next? Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.